case today is Witcher against the City of Greenville. Mr. Roosevelt.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you very much, and if it may please the court, I represent Ronald Witcher, the appellant here, stemming from his arrest for harassment by telephone, an Illinois statute, which occurred on or about September 12 of 2001. Mr. Witcher, on July 14 of 2001, had met with the police chief of the Greenville City Police Department concerning obtaining...
Let me ask you a question related to the question that I was pursuing in the last case, which is, what permits a suit against the City of Greenville? The Supreme Court held in Monell that there's no respondeat superior liability, and municipalities are not liable for errors committed by members of the police force. And yet, instead of suing the police officer who you believe violated the Constitution, you've sued only the municipality. And it looks to me, under Monell, like a non-starter.
The issue that we're apprised and presenting is that simply the officer was acting within her official capacity, with
yes,
the sergeant.
With that's exactly what the Supreme Court held in Monell is legally insufficient.
As a sergeant for that same department, and that the department would have a duty to authorize her to oversee her. In fact, as I said, the chief of police met with...
Legally insufficient. You're making respondeat superior arguments. There is no respondeat superior liability under 1983. There just isn't.
The chief met with her, with the Mr. Witcher, if I may, on July 14, and in fact instructed Mr. Witcher in terms of undertaking activities, including in order to get the consent forms that he, Mr. Witcher, needed to make contact with the parties. Now, Mr. Witcher intervening on August 21 was directed by an officer of the Greenville Police Department to have no contact, that is, not to call the alleged victim here. But when he moved forward with that phone call, or two phone calls on September 12th, certainly the question as to whether his action should have led to his arrest by the Greenville Police Department, by his sergeant, following the involvement of the department in the prior instances in that month preceding, or 2 months preceding, certainly creates on the issue which is the subject of the court summary judgment ruling was simply is related to the question whether the officer had a reasonable ground to make the arrest at this point. And that's what Judge Steele has ruled, that based on summary
but my
judgment.
My question is, what difference does it make, given that you cannot make a claim against the municipality under 1983? Whether the officer had probable cause is a ground on which you can sue the officer. It is not, in federal law, a ground on which you can sue a municipality.
I believe that where the chief of police has been involved in a situation in the 2 months preceding, that that created responsibility on the city's part, and that would allow that same issue to be pursued. It's our position that the sergeant, when looking at the question of whether or not there was intent here, had insufficient facts to conclude based upon her knowledge, based upon an objective standard, that there was at that time then an offense on harassment by telephone. People versus Jones and the law requires a specific intent to harass. There's no allegation that the sergeant, when talking to the alleged victim, elicited any testimony or complaint that Mr. Witcher made any wrongful action of that he was going to harm or in any way threaten or in any way make statements other than designed to obtain the consent form that he was seeking. And in that instance, when looking at it as a summary judgment motion, the court had to draw the inferences of a fact question in the favor of the plaintiff at the level of motion for summary judgment. The question of intent is very much at play. There being insufficient evidence for an objective officer to have concluded that there was an intent to harass, People versus Jones alludes to a fact situation, for instance, wherein an individual called an attorney's office for the city of Chicago, in that instance, made a threat to kill the attorney, was arrested then. The caller was arrested for harassment by telephone. Our position simply is, for the purpose of this grounds then, and for this purpose, hearing on the motion for summary judgment in the court's order, that a reasonable officer would have had, based upon this background and this information, insufficient grounds to make or cause that arrest. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Roosevelt. Mr. Hines.
Good police court, my name is Doug Heiss. I represent the city of Greenville in this action. Plaintiff's facts are the case of People versus Jones for the proposition that Sergeant Kazaroff had an obligation to determine the intent of Mr. Witcher.
Is there some subtle strategic reason why your brief does not mention Monell?
Your Honor, was not raised initially before Judge Steele. That was because plaintiff still had time to amend his complaint to add Sergeant Kazaroff or whoever else he may have wanted to at the time the summary judgment was filed. We did not want to take the risk of allowing him to do that, of notifying him to do that.
How would that give us jurisdiction? Monell says that the village, the city can't be responsible.
That's true, Your Honor. But
then why isn't the motion to dismiss immediately available to you?
If the motion to dismiss would have been filed, plaintiff can simply have amended his complaint to add the appropriate officer, and we would still be before this court. There's a 2-year statute of limitations.
So it's too late to amend to add the officer, is what you're saying?
Correct. Now it is. At the time the summary judgment was filed, there was still time to add the officers if they desired to.
I should think there's time to add the officer even now. Under Rule 15C, the Relation Back Doctrine, probably is designed for this kind of thing.
They would have to be brought before the district court. I can't argue that right now, Your Honor. As plaintiff relies on Jones.
So your view basically is the reason why we should adjudicate an irrelevant issue in a phony case is that you thought you were engaged in smart strategic behavior to prevent the plaintiff from bringing his correct case against the right defendant. Somehow that doesn't hold together very well.
Well, Your Honor, if plaintiff has the opportunity to amend before judges are in the district court, why bring that to his attention if we do not get summary judgment at that stage?
Yeah, but why should we be adjudicating a case that under the Supreme Court's doctrine can't possibly exist? To abet your litigation strategy.
Because at the time the brief was filed,
in the hope that you've got an ignorant plaintiff's lawyer who doesn't realize who he needs to sue.
Your Honor, since we did not raise it initially, and for the reasons that I gave the court, if we would have raised it on appeal, this court would be asking me why it was not done in the initial stage. And the same answer.
I still don't know why you didn't do it in the initial stage. In your theory that you're lulling a lawyer who doesn't know who to sue in a position where you're going to bop him one, get him bopping down there. Why come up here and bother us?
Again, because of the time that the motion for summary judgment was filed, Your Honor, he could still have amended.
You missed, my friend. I don't care whether he missed it or had a chance to file a legitimate lawsuit. I want to know why we should be involved in your trial strategy.
I can give no answer than I already did, Your Honor.
I'll bet you.
As I was saying, regarding the plaintiff's position on People versus Jones, there are several reasons why the case simply does not apply. First of all, in the Jones case, it was dealing with what Jones argued that the state failed to prove at trial the requisite intent as set forth in the statute.
I don't know whether you're paying any attention, but you're arguing a case that doesn't exist. There was no allegation. I just read the complaint. There was no allegation that the city itself failed to supervise. No allegation that the plaintiff did the defendant, the city did anything wrong. All it says is that he was a police officer and he did something he shouldn't have done.
Yes, sir.
And then somebody was, so it doesn't say that the defendant did anything. So, for practical purposes, why are you arguing about that?
Your Honor, if the court does not wish to hear the argument, I'll sit down.
I didn't want to hear the argument in the beginning.
I will sit down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Roosevelt? Okay, well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until next week. Thank you.